Now, as we have said already, it's really good to have you with us tonight. And I'm not sure how many people brought Bibles with them, but we're going to be looking at some scriptures that all concern the coming of Jesus Christ into the world this evening. And the first one is on the screen beside me here, and it's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7 and verse number 14. Let me read the word of God to you, and we'll be going through some scripture verses this evening, speaking about why the Savior came and what he did whenever he came. Isaiah 7, verse number 14. The word of God says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." Let's just still our hearts for a few moments and seek the Lord together in prayer. You're maybe not in the habit of praying. You've maybe never earnestly sought God. Well, I trust that you'll do that just now and pray that God will speak to your heart just where you are tonight and reveal himself to you. Let's seek the Lord together in prayer. Our Father, we pray that the stillness and the fear of God might come into this meeting just now. We thank thee, Father, that thou dost speak in a still, small voice by thy Spirit. And we thank thee, Father, that thou dost speak, O God, even beyond the external hearing. Thou dost speak, O God, into the heart. And Father, I pray now for the infilling and for the anointing of thy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that thou wilt grant that as the word of God goes forth tonight, that thou wilt speak to the hearts of children, boys and girls, mums and dads, right through to the oldest in this meeting. O God, we pray that the Spirit of God will move from heart to heart and from life to life, and that there might be many tonight in this meeting that might realize perhaps for the very first time in their lives how real God is, and that the gospel is true, and that they might embrace the Savior so freely offered to them in the gospel. So Lord, come amongst us, bless this time together, and for the honor and for the glory of thy Son, I take by faith the promised Holy Ghost and the blessed power of Pentecost. I pray for that infilling and for that sacred anointing that will break the yoke this evening and that will bring glory and honor to thy Son. I pray for his sake and for his glory. Amen. Now, boys and girls, I've got a few things with me tonight, mums and dads as well. And the first one is in this box, or I don't know if you can see that, or can anybody tell me what they think this might be? Yeah, this boy here. Number jacks. Not number jacks, although I know what you're at. Our little girl watches that sometimes too. It's not number jacks. Yeah? A jigsaw? Absolutely, yeah, that's right. A jigsaw puzzle. And I think we all know what a jigsaw puzzle is. This one's just about right for me, so it is. It's got about 40 pieces, so that keeps me going for a couple of hours on my day off, putting all the pieces together. You all know how a jigsaw puzzle works? Lots of little pieces, and they all interlock, and they come together, and eventually it forms one big picture. And whenever you look at each individual little piece, you maybe see maybe a word on it, or a picture on it, or part of a picture. And whenever you put all the pieces together, it forms a big picture, and we can see design in it, we can see order in it, and we can see how it all comes together. And tonight the Bible, in many ways, is like a jigsaw puzzle. 1,169 chapters in the Bible. 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 different authors, some of them from different places, some of them living in different generations. Many of them didn't know about each other. Many of them had never seen each other. And yet, whenever we take every chapter, every book, every verse, and indeed every word and every story, every character in the Bible, it all fits together like a jigsaw puzzle with thousands and thousands of pieces, and it gives us a wonderful picture of who God is, of who his Son is, and of why Jesus Christ really came. Now, if I was to ask you tonight, whereabouts in the Bible do we read about Jesus Christ. Some of you tonight would maybe say, well, we read about him in the New Testament. And if I was to ask you tonight, well, where do we read about the Lord's birth? Some of you might say, well, we read about the Lord's birth in Matthew chapter 2 and also in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 as well. And you would be right. But we read about the Lord's birth as far back as the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, right at the gates of the Garden of Eden, whenever God promised that one day a Savior would come into the world and he would be born of a woman. And then 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, we read in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." And that name Emmanuel just means God is with us. And so this Savior that was born was not just an ordinary person, but he was God manifest in the flesh. And then 700 years later, we read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise." It says, "When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." So we see pieces of the jigsaw fitting together, and we see how the Bible really is the Word of God, how Jesus Christ came into this world, he lived, and he died on the cross for sinners. And I just want to say a few very simple things tonight about the Christmas story, about where Jesus Christ was born, and about some of the people that came to see him and wanted to see him whenever he was born. Now, easy question. Anybody tell me what this is? Yeah? A loaf of bread, that's right. A loaf of bread. I like bread. And my wife has got me under strict instructions tonight that I'm to bring this loaf of bread home again and not to leave it to get stale and blue mold in the church, because that's to do us for the rest of the week, maybe right out of Christmas. So we have to ration the bread. But I wonder tonight, did you know that the name Bethlehem, the town where Jesus Christ was born, it means the house of bread. It means the house of bread. Now, way back again, about 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the Word of God told us that Jesus would be born there. The Son of God would be born in Bethlehem. The Word of God says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, all of the cities and towns and hamlets and communities and villages, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, even from everlasting." Now tonight, bread is something that we need. In Bible times, bread was a necessity. It was part of the staple diet. You needed to have bread on your table, and you needed to have bread every single day. And without bread, in Bible times, people would go hungry. And I know tonight that there are people in this world and in this meeting, and you tonight are hungry. Maybe not in a physical sense. You've been well fed and watered today. But maybe tonight you're hungry and you're thirsty and you're not filled and you're not satisfied. And you know that there's an emptiness inside and that something is missing from your life. I want to tell you tonight that the thing that is missing from your life is the bread of life, the bread of heaven. You see, the fact that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, is very interesting, because Jesus Christ, later on in John chapter 6, he said, "I am the bread of life." He said, "I am the bread which is sent down from heaven." Now think about that. The bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world and he was born in the house of bread. So there was a place that people could go, not just to get their physical bread to put on their tables, but there was a place whenever the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born, where people could go to get spiritual bread. Bread is a necessity. Bread satisfies. Maybe tonight you're hungry. And I'm not just speaking to the boys and girls, to the children, but I'm speaking to adults, to grown-ups as well. And you have tried maybe to fill your life with all sorts of different things, and tonight you're still hungry. You're not satisfied. Maybe you've tried to fill your life with pleasure. You've joined the golf club. You've joined the football team. You've got a plasma screen television in your house. You're linked up to the internet. You're on Facebook. You're on the web, and you communicate with people every day. You have plenty of friends. You've got a big family. Some of you have got married. Some of you have children. And you've felt that if I had all these things, and if I had a house to live in, food on my table, and to spare, plenty of friends, I would be filled and I would be satisfied. And tonight you know that there's something missing in your life. And it's like the Rolling Stones years ago used to sing, I can't get no satisfaction. And you have tried to fill your life with so many different things, and but you've never been to the house of bread. You've never, in that sense, been to Bethlehem, the place where the Lord Jesus Christ can meet you, and where He can fill you, and where He can satisfy you. Before He was crucified, the same night, the Bible says He took bread, and He lifted it up, and He broke it, and He says, this is my body, which is broken for you. And He wants us to come and to trust in Him and to realize that He died for us and He rose again, and from that moment on He can fill us. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever been on holidays and you've seen a sign like this. I'm sure you see signs like this if you drive into Port Rush or Port Stewart, a sign in a window of a hotel or a guest house, and it says, no vacancies. Whenever I was a wee boy, me and my brother used to sit in the back of our car, Volkswagen Polo, drive down maybe to Donegal or somewhere, and we never booked any accommodation. And Dad and Mum would sit in the front, and they would say, see if you can see any signs that say vacancies. And we'll pull in and we'll see if they can give us a bed for the night or a room for the night. But so often the sign said, no vacancies. And the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was to be born in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph had traveled all this long journey to get to Bethlehem. And whenever they went to a particular room, a particular hotel, they discovered that there was no room for them in the inn. It was like there was a big sign up over the door and it said, no vacancies. Because that time of the year, everybody had gone out from that whole area to go to Bethlehem to be taxed, to get their income tax number, and to be filed and get their tax code and all the rest of it. And whenever you're a little bit older, you'll find out, unfortunately, all about paying tax. But this isn't a new thing. It happened way back in Bible times. And Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, but there were no vacancies. And that's a sad thing. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was still in the womb of His mother, and yet there was no room in the house of bread for the bread of life. And maybe tonight at this time of the year, you're so busy that you've never really thought or considered why Jesus Christ came. You're busy with Christmas shopping. You're busy finishing your schoolwork so you can get off for your holidays. Some of the mums and dads are maybe busy finishing up work, putting in a little bit of overtime to get time off at Christmas. Maybe putting up the Christmas tree and the decorations. And your life is so busy that at this time of the year, yes, you've got time for turkey, and you've got time for selection boxes, and you've got time for presents, and you've got time to write your cards, and you've got time to do all these things. But as far as God goes, there's a sign in your heart tonight, and it says, no vacancies. There's no room in my heart tonight for God, for my Creator, for the one who formed me in my mother's womb, for the one who made me, for the one before whom I will stand before one day and give an account. No vacancies for me tonight. Yes, I've got a little bit of time to come to church, but I've got no real time for God, for the Bible, or for your Savior. And maybe you've said, maybe someday I'll take down this sign and I'll tell God that there's a vacancy, there's a void in my life, room for Him, but as far as it is tonight, no vacancies, no room for God, room for pleasure, room for business, room for friends and for family, for all these other things, legitimate things, many of them, but no room for God. That's a sad thing. Because I read in Matthew chapter 25 about a day that's coming whenever many people will come, as it were, to the very gates of heaven. And it tells us about five young women, and they went to the bridegroom's house and they knocked the door, and the door was shut, and they saw a sign and it said, no room, no vacancies. And what an awful thing if you were to leave this meeting tonight and you were to live your life, maybe for a few days or for a few weeks or for a few years, hoping that someday you'd have room for God, and then whenever you step out of this world into the next, big sign, and it says, no room. No vacancies. You see, the reality is, friends, tonight, not everybody's going to heaven. Only those who have been born again of God's Spirit will be getting into God's heaven. Only those who have trusted the Savior. It's not about good works. It's not about trying your best. It's not about making a New Year's resolution. It's not about getting all religious and going through all the things that the church calls you to do. Being born again of God's Spirit, washed in the blood, coming to Christ, that's the only thing that will get you into heaven. And then we're also told, around the story of the Lord's birth, that there were in the same country shepherds watching over their flocks by night. Now, we all know tonight what a shepherd is, don't we? A shepherd's a man or a woman who looks after the sheep. And here's this group of shepherds. We're not told how many there were. They've got a big flock of sheep and of lambs. They're watching over them. It's nighttime, it's dark. And then suddenly, the Bible says, an angel appeared. And the heavens were filled with the glory of God. And the good news was given that that very hour, a Savior had been born in Bethlehem. And these shepherds that had looked after their sheep, looked after the lambs, went that very night to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So the shepherds, they went to see the Good Shepherd. You see, that Jesus Christ said in Scripture, He said, I am the Good Shepherd. So the bread of heaven, the bread of life, went to the house of bread. The men that looked after the lambs went to see the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the good shepherds went to see the best shepherd, the good shepherd who the Bible says gives his life for the sheep. Think about that. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And he came into this world to give his life for the sheep. He knows his sheep by name, the Bible says. If you're a Christian tonight, Jesus Christ knows who you are. He knows all about you and he loves you. He knows who his sheep are. And even in his days of his flesh, all those years ago, he said, other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And maybe tonight God is calling you. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. We have gone our own direction. We've made our own plans. We've had our own ideas. And for a lot of us, it hasn't really worked out. And it hasn't led to happiness. And that pot of gold that we hope to find at the end of the rainbow, it's not really there at all. And yet the Word of God tells us that out of the 100 sheep that a certain shepherd had, he went after the one that went astray. And maybe in this meeting tonight, there's one person that knows that they're lost. And the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to this meeting for you. And he's given his life for you. He left heaven. He lived a perfect life. And then he went and offered up that perfect life as a sacrifice upon a cross. He knows his sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. And the Bible also says that he calls his sheep. He says, my sheep, hear my voice. Just as you're hearing my voice tonight, with your heart, you'll know whenever God is speaking. And you'll know that God is real. You maybe can't explain it. You maybe don't understand it all. But you know in your heart, God's speaking to me about my sin, about my future, about my past. I need to get right with God. And then you will come and you will trust Him and you will follow Him. I wonder tonight in this meeting, have you ever heard the call of God? And if you have you responded? And if you have responded, are you following the Lord? You see, I'm told by sheep farmers that if a sheep is found on its own and it's away from the flock and it doesn't want to be part of the flock, that it's a sign that something's wrong. Maybe sickness has entered in. And maybe tonight you're not following the Lord. And you've got no guide throughout life and no guide to bring you into heaven. But the Lord, He loves His sheep and He leads His sheep. And the good shepherd came and the shepherds of the field went to see Him. So the bread of heaven came to the house of bread. And the shepherds went to see the good shepherd. And then we're told as well that there came wise men from the east and they came to worship Him. Wise men from the east. They came a little bit later. We're not told again how many there were, but we know that they were wise men. And wise men and wise women and wise boys and wise girls will seek to come to Christ. As soon as these wise men knew that the Savior had been born, they came. And think about that. The bread of life came to the house of bread. The shepherds went to see the good shepherd. And the wise men came to see the wisest man that ever lived. Jesus Christ is God. He knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. He's got a plan and a purpose. There's nothing that is hidden from Him. Not a word, not an action, not a very thought. But He knows it afar off. He knows all about you tonight. He knows you by name. He knows what age you are. He knows how many hairs you have in your head. He knows where you live. He knows what you did today. He knows what you plan to do tomorrow. He knows what will happen tomorrow. He knows all things because He's an all-knowing and an almighty and an all-wise God. But these wise men brought gifts. One of the wise men brought gold. And they got this gold and they laid it at the feet of the Savior. Now, whenever we think about gold, we think about wealth. We think about riches. Maybe we think about a king in a palace. And the Bible tells us that in heaven, the very streets are paved with gold. They knew that Jesus Christ was the King. And He is the King. Whenever they crucified Him, they wrote over His head, King of the Jews. And He wants to be King in your life. A king is a man that sits upon a throne and has authority. And God wants to be enthroned in your life. Then one of the other wise men, we are told, brought stuff called frankincense. That was like a perfume. Maybe some of the younger people here have bought your mum or dad perfume or aftershave for Christmas. I was saying this morning that I get worried whenever people buy me deodorant year after year or aftershave. Maybe they think I don't smell too good and they buy me something along the lines of frankincense. Maybe something like this, Fahrenheit. Or if you're a real man, you'll be like me and you'll use this stuff. Brute, yeah. And makes you smell like a brute. Okay, so if you want to smell like a brute, you'll use brute. Frankincense was something that was like a perfume, a sweet savor unto God. And it speaks of holiness, it speaks of purity. Whenever we read in the Bible about frankincense, it talks about pure and holy. And these wise men knew that Jesus Christ was not only King, but they knew that He was pure and holy and would live a perfect and a sinless life. And then they also brought another thing called myrrh. And that's not a mirror that you look into, but it's like a white paste that comes out of a tree. It's an ointment that's very thick. It's white, it's spotless, it's clean. And whenever somebody would have died in Bible times, Maybe a friend or a family member or a loved one would have taken myrrh and they would have covered the body in myrrh and they would have wrapped it up and prepared it for the burial. And so whenever we read about myrrh, it speaks about death. So these wise men knew that not only would this wise man, this baby that was born, not only was he king, not only would he lead and live a sinless and a perfect life, but he would also die, and he would die in the place of sinners. And that's a wonderful thing. Just a wonderful, wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. The wise men came to see the wisest man. And the wise men brought gifts, whenever in fact the one that they were worshipping was the greatest gift that the world has ever received. Listen to what the Bible said again 700 years before the Savior came. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. God gave his son as a gift for us, that we might be saved and set free and forgiven and led on with God. How do you receive a gift? What do? Well, you just put out your hands and you accept it as a gift. You don't try to earn it. You don't try to pay for it. But you're just humble enough to accept it lovingly as a gift from the giver. The Bible says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You say, well, I want to receive this gift tonight. How do I receive it? You receive it by faith and by doing this. Does anybody know what this sign means? Yeah? Yeah, turn around, U-turn. If you see this sign in the road, it means do a U-turn. Turn around, because the way you're going isn't safe. You need to make a change of direction. And the Bible talks about repentance, and it means do a U-turn. Turn right around. You're going the wrong way, and if you want to receive this gift, you have to turn around and accept it and receive it by faith. And then there was somebody else who wanted to come in closing, and that was King Herod. King Herod, he said he wanted to come, but his motives weren't pure. He wanted to come, and he wanted to destroy the child. He was the king, and he wanted to take the life from this little boy. But this little boy was the King of Kings, and he would lay down his life anyway. And maybe tonight, in a sense, you're like Herod. You would rather that he'd never been born. You would rather have it that there was no God, and you would do anything to get Jesus Christ out of your life. You don't want to read the Bible. You don't want to pray. You don't want to come to God's house. You don't want to listen to that man or woman in the workplace, or that boy and girl at school, or that father or mother or grandparent that's always talking about God. And you would rather destroy that message and live your own way. How sad. Herod thought that he could take the life of this little boy. But Herod died before Jesus Christ died. And Jesus Christ was the king. And he says, listen, in John chapter 10, nobody's going to take my life from me. I'm going to lay it down of myself. So the king wanted to take the life of the King of Kings, who would lay down his life anyway. The king died upon a cross. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. The bread of heaven was broken. The wise man knows all about who you are. I wonder tonight what you think about this whole story that we read about in Scripture. This book that all fits together so wonderfully and so clearly. The bread of heaven came to the house of bread. The shepherds came to the good shepherd. The wise man came to the wisest man. And the king wanted to kill the king who would lay down his life. This demands a response. As soon as the shepherds heard that a Savior had come, they came. And as soon as the wise men heard that a Savior had come, they came as well. And the challenge tonight is, will you come and embrace and trust this wonderful Savior? Now let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. We thank you so much for listening. Just gone 7:30, so we don't want to keep you any later than we have to. I know some have to get home, so we'll call it there. So we trust that the Lord has spoken. And if you want any help in spiritual things, come and speak to me or somebody else, your Sunday school teacher or Trevor or some Christian in the meeting. Make sure that you too come to this wonderful Savior who can save your precious soul. Father, in heaven, we commit the rest of this evening to Thee. We pray that as the voice of man is silent, that the voice of Almighty God will speak on. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speak to boys and girls, speak to mums and dads as well. Some in life, Lord, that know that they're lost and know that they need a Savior. Lord, bring them, O God, to embrace the Lamb of God, the Good Shepherd, the King of Kings. And may they be filled with all the fullness of God. May the bread of life be broken tonight. And may there be many that will feed upon it and be filled with the knowledge of sins forgiven, a home in heaven, peace with God, and a purpose in life. Accept of our thanks and bless us now in the Savior's name. As we part company, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.